Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Now I want popcorn.
With M&M's in it.
With M&M's in it? I've done Reese's Pieces in it.
Okay. You make it sound like I'm a freak.
No, I know.
How dare you?
I know. Chocolate. I realized I was saying that. That does sound so good right now.
Yeah, some chocolate and the sweet and the salty.
I have chocolate up here.
Yeah, but we want popcorn.
Do you have popcorn? Do you movie popcorn?
No.
Joey,
no,
get us popcorn.
There is one bag of M&M's up here, though.
Joey, get us some movie popcorn.
Yeah, from a movie theater, please.
From a movie theater right now, please. Thank you. 720 WGN, Esmeralda Leon and myself, John Hanson, hanging out with you here and joining the conversation is Blake Stubbs, movie critic. How you doing, Stubbsy?
Hey, doing all right. How about you guys?
Good. Have you ever done the popcorn with treats inside of it?
You know what? I have once. I've done the Reese's Pieces, and I have done Skittles, but I cannot say the Skittles worked out too well. Reese's Pieces, good option, but Skittles are my personal movie candy.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm going to try it with everything, and those two, for me, just don't, no, doesn't work. Can't do it. Not going to do it again. Never. But the Reese's Pieces idea, that went pretty far, and yes. I can advise that one try it.
Yeah, the chocolate, the chocolatey with the buttery and the salty sounds good. The Skittle sounds terrible. You know what I like?
Yeah,
movie theater. I know this is nothing what we're going to be talking about, but you know, my favorite movie theater. Actually, people can chime in with whatever the heck they want to. 312-981-7200. Favorite movie candy. I'm always curious about this. We talked about Halloween candy, but it's different in the theaters.
Yeah.
I like snow caps.
You know what? They're not the worst. And again, good in popcorn.
Yeah.
I like Sour Patch Kids.
Nobody understands the snow cap, though. I like them, too, and they always bash
the humble snow cap.
The humble snow cap.
The humble snow cap.
That's a new Disney movie coming out next fall.
The humble snow cap. Yeah, they've run out of princesses. They're just, all right, doing the, all right, so yeah, the humble snow cap. Okay, we are talking with Blake Stubbs about falling back. So the time changed, so we fell back. It's 3:08 in the morning. And we're talking about movies that are your fallback movies, the movies that you can go to again and again, maybe guilty pleasures, right? Like that's what we're kind of aiming for.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of these are the ones that I, you know, immediately thought of, you know, movies I've seen over and over again, whether because they were, you know, syndicated on television. And when when they come on, you immediately think, I'm going to watch that, oh, this is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Or something where it's like, I've always thought it's interesting to get people to admit the movie they've seen more than most.
Okay.
And it's something that, like, they're afraid to admit it.
Ooh.
Like, the Weekend at Bernie's of like, you know, like, oh, I've seen Weekend at Bernie's 8 times. Like, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, wow, really? You sat through Weekend at Bernie's 8 times? Like, where's this guy's medal or gal's medal? Like, get him something.
Yeah, why? What did you miss the first 6 times that you really needed to get out of the 7th and 8th times?
I mean, yeah, so it's one of those things where I always thought that's kind of an interesting conversation piece. I mean, you know, because most people can tell you they've seen The Big Lebowski at least 4 or 5 times,
mm-hmm.
if they have seen it. You know, like, it's not a movie that somebody's just seen 1 time.
Right.
And because of the cult following, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's so quotable. It's like a new generation Caddyshack type thing where, you know, like, everybody's seen it 3 or 4 times at least. And, I mean, in my case, I'm probably up to about a dozen.
First seeing The Big Lebowski, okay.
Yeah, and it's just so funny. It's just, it's one of those things where there's not a person in the movie that I don't like as far as actors go. It's kind of an out-of-the-box movie for the Coen brothers, which I'm a huge Coen brothers fan. But at the same time, it's just, it's so laugh-out-loud funny. There's always some moment in the movie that will get me every single time. And you can't watch it when it's on TV. Okay, first of all, it's very R-rated. If you're not familiar with The Big Lebowski and have somehow lived under a cinematic rock, we're here to help you out. Watch that movie, watch it uncut, and just sort of kick back and relax. And you may find that you don't like it. If I recall correctly, Roger Ebert didn't enjoy it the first time he saw it. Years later, after the cult following and they started having Lebowski fests all over and it became this sort of thing and found shelf life outside of the movies, the actual, silver screens, the actual Cineplexes. He sort of revisited it and felt like it was a movie that, you know, at the time it just didn't make sense. It was a mess. But over time, it has aged and turned into something wholly different from what it was that first time he saw it. And I think a lot of people will find that, and it becomes one of those rewatchable modern classics in a way.
All right, so we're looking for those
type of movie.
Yeah. So we're looking for those ones that you will watch over and over again, maybe Guilty Pleasures, Rainy Day, you're going to watch it even though you know you should watch something new. Sometimes I'm watching some of these movies and I'm like, why don't I just watch something new? But there's something familiar about it that makes you, so this isn't a movie, but for me, I watched The West Wing. This is so embarrassing. I can't fall asleep in life in general without The West Wing playing on my laptop in bed with me. Like, it's getting actually a little worrisome for me.
Is it any episode?
I just plow through them all. And what it is I know the episodes so well. I don't like not having any noise in the bedroom when I sleep. Mm-hmm. I need a little white noise. So I literally have the laptop. I play the episode wherever I left off. I lay down. I turn the screen off. And I listen to The West Wing as I go to bed. And I've done that, and I'm not kidding, I've done that every night for like 3.5 years now.
Wow. So you're lulled by sounds of...
Yes. Is that weird? That's so weird, right?
I mean, whatever floats your boat.
I don't think that's too weird. I'm the same way with Frasier, for that matter. I mean, Frasier is a show where I can just throw an episode on, even in the later years where I'm not as much of a fan of the show as I was of the early, you know, like six seasons, mm-hmm. seven. Throw one of those episodes on. For some reason, when the Kells talks or David Hyde Pierce says something funny, I mean, it's one of those things where it makes me feel at ease.
But
and again, like, I've seen the show so many times,
right?
Like, you know, it's not like I'm minimizing the show by having it be something I go to sleep to. It's
No.
Like a security blanket.
It's comfort.
You just feel relaxed. So you know those characters' voices, you know it.
Yeah,
I'm just amazed though that you guys seek it out. It's not just on TV. Like, you guys have episodes and you're watching them one after the other.
Yes. No, I will plow through it. And when I get to season 7, episode 22, tomorrow, I go back to the pilot and start over again.
Goodness.
Like, I know you say that, but I this is every night when I'm alone in bed every night.
Mm-hmm.
So without Brett, because he'd be like, turn that crap off.
Do you dream about West Wing?
No. Man, no, I don't think so. But it's weird. Tonight I will put it on and I will lay there until I fall asleep. Is that weird?
That's kind of adorable.
Every single night, the same show. I should really pick some new ones. But see, with the new show, then I'm like, I'm kind of curious what's happening. I'm trying to listen to the dialogue. With West Wing, I'm like, well, I've already been to this like 26 times. I know exact. I could like recite it all. So 312-98.
It's an autopilot.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
So film or TV shows, 312-981-7200. What are your comfort films? What are your things that you fall back on in honor of the clocks falling back? Esmeralda?
For me, the one I've seen the most in my life is Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I know that movie from top to bottom.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Is it where you seek it out or that it's just in the background, you'll watch it?
If it's in the background, I'll watch it. It was at the Music Box a year or two ago, and I went to see it. And I remember I hadn't seen it in a little bit, and I could still...
Every line?
I knew every line because I watched it as a kid. I watched it every day.
For me, there's also, those ones that you watch as a kid. I could, whether it's Wizard of Oz or Little Shop of Horrors, I used to watch those every single day, my parents say, to the point of wearing out the VHS. And I hadn't seen Little Shop of Horrors for like 10 or 15 years, the movie. And I watched it. I knew every single word to it because it has been ingrained inside of me.
Yeah, and it's comforting. Again, it's that whole, you've seen it so many times, and it's like, oh, it's
it
a
reminds
comfy
you
sweater.
Of a simpler time.
Yes.
Joey, are there any out there for you?
I go with usually if it's on TV or anywhere, National Treasure is always one I really love to watch.
National Treasure?
Yep.
National Treasure. That's interesting. Now that, you know what? I can defend this completely.
Okay.
I've seen this movie only twice. Okay. I caught it like segments of it when it was on TV. It had a pretty good run there where it was being shown. And then a friend sat me down one night and made me watch it. And because, again, like, I'm touch and go with Nicolas Cage. Like, some things I think he's perfect in, some things I don't. And I was just like, National Treasure, whatever. I gave it a full, you know, sat down, got some popcorn, kept my candy separate, but sat down and watched it. And And I completely, like, fell into that world. And I felt like it was a cool place to go for, you know, a couple hours. And I don't know that we need, like, a whole franchise, you know, four sequels. I know there's only been one sequel. But that first movie was fun. I mean, it was kind of like a less action-packed Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you had, you know, Sean Bean was in the movie. I'm a big Sean Bean fan. I mean, you know, there were elements outside of just Nicolas Cage that made me want to watch it. And, you know, even though some of the history is, like, kind of, you know, like, played with a little bit for the sake of making the movie work, it definitely, you know, takes you somewhere.
Yeah.
That you otherwise have probably not really been.
Joey, was it something you remember about watching, or that you watched as a kid or something?
I mean, I watched it when I was younger, but I think it's just more of what he's talking about, that world I can go into, that the fact that there's all these little secrets that make up, you know, the U.S. or whatever the world history is. And I always thought it was very cool that while some of them may not be real, to think about, oh, if you go in the Library of Congress, you'll find the President's Book of Secrets, and there's this whole other world you don't know about.
You're exploring.
Yeah.
The 847, this is one I can relate to. The 847 chimes in. They're the same way with Columbo. And Columbo is every time that if this person's on a plane and they hear it, they feel like everything is okay. And I've seen every episode 10 to 20 times. I don't know about it. I think I might have made up the part about the plane. There's a word plane in there. That might be autocorrect. But yes, Columbo makes you comfortable. And okay, so that's another TV show. And I feel like TV shows lend themselves to this as well, the episodic nature of them.
Just long form movies.
Exactly. Okay.
There's something too to mention is that there's a lot of some of this is director based, I think, in a lot of ways.
Hmm.
You know, the creative mind of a director and your familiarity with their work, and sometimes you find out that like something that's very rewatchable, you know, or the rewatchability of something has to do with it's like one of my favorite directors that did it. For example, Robert Zemeckis. You know, here's three movies he did that you know maybe the listener out there right now doesn't know that he did all three of these. He did Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm.
He did Back to the Future. He did Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And he also did, what's the other one that I just pulled it up? You know, I'm sorry.
Well, the first three you've got already are you're absolutely right. Like Forrest Gump.
They're huge.
Anytime that comes on TV, I'll watch the whole thing.
Yeah. No, ditto.
Right, Romancing the Stone, which had a lot of play on television. But it's one of those things where, like, as you see his career grow, and he's a big-time producer. You know, he's collaborated with Spielberg a lot of times, who also has very rewatchable films, in my opinion. Jaws, Jurassic Park. You know, you get into these big movies, the Indiana Jones films. These are all movies that you could just pop on and you know them because you've seen them before. And they could be your white noise, much like you were describing how The West Wing is before you go to sleep. It could be while you're, you know, cleaning the house.
Yeah.
You know, these are things that you don't have to feel like you have to pay attention to, so they just become fallback movies.
Good.
You know, which is sort of the whole, I thought, purpose of our topic discussion.
Good timing, Blake, at 815 says, Back to the Future, after countless viewings, I still tear up during the scene when Marty plays Johnny B. Goode. Side note, Marty McFly goes back to the future the night of October 26, 27, 1985. And that was the night we turned our clock backs. I remember because my daughter was born that night. Oh, that's very sweet.
Wow.
The 815 chimes in and said, I've seen The Fifth Element 30 times.
That's another movie. If it's on, I'll just sit and watch it. It's not even that good to me, but for some reason.
That was a movie that I was very late to the party on. I was a Luc Besson fan for a very long time, but for some reason that one just slipped through the cracks. And one day a friend made me, you know, this is how I got into having great conversations about movies. People recommend stuff to me. I recommend things to people all the time, whether they listen or watch, I don't know. But people always come to me and they're like, have you seen The Fifth Element? Somebody did. And I said, you know what? No, I've never seen it. Totally blew my mind. A whole lot of fun and has such rewatchability. I know somebody who's seen that movie more than any other film over and over again, and it is probably their, you know, go-to fallback movie. Me and the wife watched The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
There's some comedies I have in this list we're going to get to in just a second. Blake, you can stick around, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
All right, 312-91-7200. We'll be right back on 720 WGN. Ugh, Back to the Future, this incredible score and this incredible song. Ugh, That just gives me chills every time I hear it. Now I want to go home and watch that. Talking about movies that make you feel comfortable, movies that bring you back, your fall back movies here on the Time Change Fall Back Sunday morning. Oh, my God, I just caught a cough. Okay, Blake Stubbs, sorry, bud. That song, though, man, that gets you going, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that, and you know what? I think at the time that was the largest orchestra ever assembled to record a score for a film. And it shows. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of a timeless song. I mean, it's one of those things where you hear it, you immediately know what it's from.
And speaking of...
And you really feel bad if someone
yeah.
doesn't.
And speaking of music, Judy wants to chime in. Judy, you pick your guilty pleasures, based on the music, right?
Oh, yes. I'm able to listen to a lot of movies now because I just got the remote control that you talk to.
Oh, yeah.
And being told.
Yeah.
See, this opens up a whole new world for me because I have no sight.
Really?
Yeah, I was born blind.
Wow, that's...
I listen to... I've got a few favorite actresses, but I love the movie Lonesome Dove. I watch that quite a bit because I like Robert Duvall and Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah, Tommy Lee Jones. Now, Judy, that's so fascinating. You know, you grew up blind watching movies. So then what is it, you know, people often have different things they like about actors and actresses, but obviously you're limited a bit to their voices and the emotion from their voices. So what is it about an actor and actress that makes you gravitate towards them?
Sometimes I think it's the way they speak, where they come from. I listen to, I don't know if you ever heard of this movie. They show it on, they have it on demand for free. I like Tom Selleck, and he has two good movies, Crossfire Trail, which is very good. It's a very good story.
Mm-hmm.
And then Last Stand at Saber River. And I think the reason I like those two, I love the music in both of them because the music sounds Irish.
Hmm.
Although I'm not Irish, but I like the music. And I think with a lot of people that don't see, you know, like if they show like a sad scene, they'll play sad music. If a happy scene, happier music. But I've always, and a lot of times before if I can get the book, I'll read the books first. And then one movie, though, I did find very difficult to follow was Dances with Wolves.
Okay.
Because it was very, even though he described everything, I like him a lot. I always have. But it's just that, you know, it wasn't video descriptive, so I just sat there and I just had to listen.
Right, yeah. That's such a fascinating perspective. I just, you know, when I think of movie scores, they enhance emotion, but... I mean, for you, in a lot of scenes, they're the only way you may be able to derive emotion from it.
Yeah, and if I have, like, a family member with me, I'll ask, you know, I'll ask him, oh, is he good looking or tall? Because I like Gregory Peck movies too.
Yeah.
I always loved his voice. And because I go, you know, of course, more by the voices. And,
yeah, you can't beat Gregory Peck's voice.
Oh, I know. He's got a gorgeous voice. Him and Richard Chamberlain.
Oh yeah, Blake. What you got? Any favorite voices out there that you like? Obviously, Blake.
Two in particular. One because he can disguise and change his voice so well. That's Gary Oldman. If you go through the entire, you know, his entire career, there's a few big roles that stick out. It's Mason Verger from Hannibal when he is in True Romance. And then you get to something like Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Those all sound like three unique individuals, but it's one guy. And the other, oddly enough, I could listen to The Man Read the Phone Book. You mentioned The West Wing. Richard Schiff.
Oh, yeah.
One of those actors where, you know, I would love to see him in a play. I would love to see him on stage live in person. A chance to hear that voice and watch him emote and do what he does best. You know, he's classified as like a character actor to a lot of people. You know, other than being a key player on The West Wing, he's had a lot of roles throughout his career. But there's something in his voice, the way he talks. And Philip Seymour Hoffman would be another one. He's certainly got a voice in the way he used his voice. to change from character to character. I mean, listen to something from like Capote and then go into, I don't know, the Mission Impossible 3. I mean, the way he carried himself was all through his voice. And that's a sign of a truly great actor, you know, being able to change from one thing to another. And, you know, a lot of those English actors can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I find it interesting, Judy, you've told us that you do not have sight, and yet every one of the movies or shows or anything you mentioned is a Western, which is one of the truly, I think, the truly, and I had a discussion on Facebook the other day about this, the truly greatest cinematic genre of film. You know, expansive landscapes, all these, and you're transported as much as I am when I watch them.
Oh, sure.
That's fascinating to me.
Oh, yeah, and they talked more, too, in those, you know, those TV shows where...
Yes.
That's why a lot of, you know, people that don't really appreciate comedy because we don't know what they're laughing about because it's facial expression. And, of course, I like one of Nick DiGiulio's old favorites, too, I watch a lot is Rich Man, Poor Man.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show, and they're going to... I do that on demand, and I read the book years ago, so I knew what it was all about. So,
Judy, that's fascinating. I don't know. Do you ever watch any, like, so we were talking about West Wing. I don't know if you're familiar or you enjoy any Aaron Sorkin stuff because of his dialogue is just so quick.
I don't remember him.
Yeah, he did, like, what are some other Aaron? Oh, A Few Good Men?
A Few Good Men was a big one. It was a play that got adapted into a film, and then with Jack Nicholson, Tom Cruise. And then you also have The Newsroom, which was on HBO. And there was a short, very short-lived Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Right.
That was a one-season show.
Oh, and the Facebook movie, too.
yeah, and The Social Network. He actually, I mean, he did. He wrote the script for The Social Network. But I believe that was a partnership job. He also, I think, had a hand in, he did not have a hand in Moneyball. But Steve Zaillian, who was kind of like a writing partner with him. They definitely have collaborated. And it's one of those things where his dialogue is so known for being very fast and yet very you get enveloped in what's going on just through words. It's all based on the words. And you know, the West Wing pioneered the walk and talk, the long, you know, camera movements with the actors just walking and talking.
Right.
But it's one of those things where, like, to John and I, who are big West Wing heads, and I know that there are many others out there, it's like sweet music to us.
Right, it is.
To hear those voices and to hear them speak that way. There's another writer, David Mamet, who you know, he alienates some audiences, and but if you go back to the earlier works that he did, he would use a metronome to direct his actors.
Oh yeah,
so that they would follow a rhythm.
Yeah,
yeah, and so there's a lot of writers who think of in that in terms of, like, you're going to write dialogue and you're going to write words people have to say to communicate a story. It should be like listening to music, so that they can follow along much easier. And so I love that you love Westerns. Your taste is very good. I think that you definitely, oh no, hey, look, I love talking about this stuff. And this is a whole new perspective.
I know, and it's so hard to find somebody, you know, who can tell you, you know.
Yeah.
What people, how they look.
I find your perspective so fascinating. We got to scoot away to news. So, sure. Judy, thank you so much for the call today.
Sure, John. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, anytime. Call in anytime. Thanks. I love that perspective, Judy. Thank you so much. Blake, can you stick around through the news?
You know it.
Oh, yeah. Blake's going to stick around. We're going to talk more about your comfort movies and really any questions you have about movies because Blake has seen them all. Okay. Roger Bennett. Wasn't that fascinating? To hear it's just such a different, I don't know, just a different perspective.
Yeah.
Oh, no, completely. And, you know.
And I'll tell you this, and this is where we talked about A Few Good Men. And I know it was adapted from the play,
yes.
Which makes some of the best movies, many of the movies that win Best Picture for the Academy Award have been adapted from plays.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw that... in the theater, and the light went out on the projection. The sound kept going, but it was so well written, as a stage play must be, that I was still enthralled by it. I was still within the movie, mm-hmm. even though all I could do was hear the dialogue. The rest of the audience, the goofs around me, were coming, hey, fix it, we can't see it. Well, yeah, dummy, why don't you just shut up and listen to it? I remember that moment because I became so incensed that these... that others around me, I need to calm down. I was that upset about it. Seriously, I'm trying to listen to the dialogue because I could care less. They could have put up Gumby on the screen as a visual, but I'm listening to the dialogue. And so that what she was saying makes total sense.
Right, right. When did you get you some popcorn and some Reese's Pieces?
Yeah,
Roger, thank you. Calm me down.
Calm me down, yeah.
Go ahead, Blake. What were you going to say?
Aaron. I was just going to say, you know, that's a testament to how Sorkin's writing, you know, falls into play with being able to listen to it and know what's going on. But we're also, you know, speaking on a medium where all we are is sound right now. And think back to when they did The Shadow and Little Orphan Annie and any kind of Western, you know, story on the radio. That's how America and, you know, in many places of the world got their entertainment. So when people are like, "We're fixed the screen and everything," okay, first of all, I'd be sitting there like restless because I'm a movie guy and I want the whole experience. I don't want it interrupted. I want to make sure that it's, you know, as from start to finish.
Right.
I don't want to miss a moment or a frame. But it's all in the sound. Take a horror movie. Take the best horror movie you've ever seen and turn the sound off. Completely different experience.
Hmm.
You don't even care what's going on. Put the sound on and maybe, you know, lose the image for a little bit. I mean, horror movies are mostly dark, you know, for the most part, in a lot of ways, you're still going to be engaged. And so it's an interesting thing to see it one way versus the other. And so I think it is. I think it's pretty fascinating.
Cool. All right, Blake, thanks. You're going to hang around here. And Roger, we're a little late to you, but this is a fascinating discussion.
Yeah.
It's 3:35 in the morning. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Here's Roger Banish.
I can see myself flying already.
Oh,
pew, pew, pew.
That's just the marijuana. No, I'm just kidding. No. 720 WGN. I don't know where I pulled that from. Don't do drugs. So Blake Stubbs is with us. Blake Stubbs is a movie critic and lives out on the West Coast. And Blake, this kind of has devolved into a conversation. Not devolved, evolved into a conversation about the sound of music. I guess that's a pun waiting to happen.
Well,
but we're talking about familiar things, and I guess, score really is important. What is your favorite? Do you have a favorite score of all time, Blake? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, man. You know what? I would say because I watch so much and it comes in waves, you know, and I have, like, a new favorite thing, I would say I get kind of flavor of the week going, but Star Wars is definitely up there. You know, any half of John Williams' catalog could be an answer to that question, honestly. I mean, you can tell me, like, there's an entire generation of people who probably say the Harry Potter music is their favorite.
Right.
And I would be like, you know what? That's gorgeous music. I mean, separate from the films completely.
Jaws.
I definitely, though, Jaws, I mean, for me, what's more iconic than Jaws other than Star Wars? And I would say I absolutely love, and I know it got flack. I got flack for saying this once, but I love the score to The Social Network, actually, when it won the Oscar, Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor. I was blown away by that score, and I've listened to it so many times. I'm a big gamer, so I listen to it while I game, and it just sort of, at times, it matches up perfectly with certain things I play. And so, yeah, I mean, you run into... My favorites sort of morph and change over time, and sometimes I'll hear things and think, you know, like, wow, like, there was that one song in that movie that I really liked, and most of the rest of the score didn't really apply, really, you know, just doesn't stick. But certain things, Star Wars, though, the whole thing, you could play somebody like probably a few bars from Star Wars. I'm going to act like I know what music is for a minute and just say you could play somebody a few bars from Star Wars, and they're going to know it's Star Wars.
Right.
Because the sound, you know, it's conveyed all in the music, and it completely matches the motif of that movie. Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You know, any of the music from Indiana Jones jumps at you. And actually, I've been listening to it a lot lately. Forrest Gump. I mentioned Forrest Gump earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I guess. And the music from Forrest Gump is quite beautiful if you just listen to it separate from the film. It's kind of hard to because the movie's so, I think it's very rewatchable. Because it's such an interesting journey for a character, and people love being transported. And and going on that journey again and again, at least I do. And the music, though, separate from it, definitely stands out.
Yeah, that so, suite has so many different parts, and it's gorgeous. 312-981-7200. Give us a call or send us a text. The conversation started with comfort movies, things that you watch, you fall back on, since we're falling back at the time. We got a text from the 847, and this kind of alludes to what we're going to see here in the holiday season, because they start to play the same kind of movies over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But this one I could not agree more. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, a remote dropper, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Okay. Can we just do an entire hour about John Candy?
No, I know, right?
But I definitely, that movie had a magnetism in the two key talents. You know, it was just one of those things where you connect with them immediately because they're just like either you or someone you know. They're going on a journey. Everybody wants to do that. Road movies can sometimes completely captivate an audience. That one in particular, it matches up with a holiday. It has a feel to it. If you're from Illinois, you know, I mean, I miss home, but like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, definitely in the top three must watch over the course of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And I've probably seen it 4 or 5 times.
Throughout
my entire adult life. That's just my adult life. Like watching it as a teen and not really getting how amazing it was, but mm-hmm. now watching it, it's like, nah, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, big thumbs up for that one. Absolutely.
As we get into the holiday season, are there any, Esmeralda, that you're a fan of, that you like, that you don't
Christmas
like?
Christmas Story.
Yeah, you.
Especially they play 24 hours is the best because you pick it up and
absolutely.
I know the whole thing. I could reenact the whole thing.
Does it make you feel warm and fuzzy inside? Is that what it is?
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah. Yeah, it's watching it with family and, you know, even with the 24-hour thing, like, that's a thing now at my house. It's like, oh, turn it on. Christmas Story's on. It's on 24. Let's watch it.
Yeah. This isn't holiday-related, but the 309 says a double dip, Pirates of the Caribbean, or Caribbean, a consistent repeat watch, and it has a fantastic score, which I got to agree with that.
Yes, Klaus Badelt's score for that movie is probably one of my favorites to listen to over and over again. It so matches up with the movie itself. And that was the first Captain Jack Sparrow. You know, the whole world was kind of taken by surprise with how great Johnny Depp was in that movie. But that movie was so immersive and totally a Disney thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Disney like pulled out all the stops to like really make that feel like a movie where you were on the ride. You know, because, I mean, somebody actually pitched a movie based on a ride, and it worked. You know what I mean? Like, that's to me, the thing that's always going to stand out with Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mary from Roselle says, Going My Way and Singing in the Rain, both are comfort movies from my childhood. I think that's a thing that if you connected with it as a kid, even if it's the goofy one, not that those are goofy, but like mine with Little Shop of Horrors. Yeah. If there's something that you connect with a kid, it continues no matter how old you get.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, look at you. Like you said it earlier, Little Shop of Horrors. That's it. That's the one. Yeah. That's your movie. And look, I've sat and watched Little Shop of Horrors with John. for those that you know are listening, he totally gets completely into it. He might even have costumes. He just didn't get them out. When
does
we
he
watched
sing all
it.
The songs?
I think he does.
Do I
a pretty
sing
good
all
job.
The
I gotta,
songs?
I gotta give him credit.
Suddenly Seymour. Okay. Suddenly Harold. Harold, you're joining us on the line. Harold, you're talking about comfort films or soundtracks you like?
Well, just, I guess, you know, you were talking about films that you can, that you've seen many times.
Right.
And you just, you know, you want to go to. So, and I could just sit there and name you like for 3 days if you just name the movies. But a couple of them that, you know, I think many people agree with me are, American Graffiti, one of George.
Yes.
There's like, what, five or six different stories going on at the same time and going back and forth.
And great music in that one, too.
Yeah,
exactly.
And great music, yes.
You know, you start out, one guy's begging the other guy to don't skip out on college, and then by the end, they switch roles, you know.
Right.
Another one is A Shot in the Dark, Peter Sellers. The second King Panther.
Oh.
you touched a button with Blake here.
You had me at Peter Sellers. I mean, yes, absolutely. That was such a nuanced performer. Yes.
This is the thing that I tell people whenever they see it. I say, you know, I tell them that he's a cop, but he's always undercover, and you know, he's in this undercover mode, and he's in disguise, and he gets arrested by a police officer several times in the film. And one time he gets arrested, he's selling paintings, and he's kind of dressed as Toulouse-Lautrec, and then so he gets arrested by, you know, for selling these paintings without a license, and doesn't explain to anybody that he's actually a cop. He just gets arrested. And as the painting wagon goes by, as it comes towards you and it goes by, you see there's paintings hanging in the window of the back of the painting wagon. And then he's selling balloons later on, and the balloons are in the back of the painting wagon as it goes by. And there's several other ones. And then there's a scene where he gets arrested for, he leaves a nudist camp in a hurry and leaves his clothes behind. And he gets arrested for being naked in his car in the middle of the intersection with Elkie Summers, both of them. You know, him and Elkie Summers are in the car, you know, trying to get arrested. And well, I tell people, I say, just watch the movie, and when the painting wagon goes by this time, see what's in the back of the window.
Harold, go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, so, you know, I won't tell the rest of it. So
right.
I have to see it, But, yeah, there's tons of, I mean, The Blob, Steve McQueen.
Yeah, yeah, that's another one.
Yeah.
I mean, and Harold, were these movies you enjoyed as a kid, and is that why you maybe find them so, if comforting's not the word, but familiar, that you just enjoy them so much?
Well, there's tons of movies. There's even movies, you know, that are current. But, yeah, I did see those when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I actually probably saw both of those when I was, like, you know, 4 or 5 years old. Or
probably could say
American Beauty when I was 8.
Yeah. I think you'd probably say a line to every single one of them. Harold, thank you so much for the call here today.
You're totally right about that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 720 WGN. We're talking about familiar movies, and we kind of evolved into talking about their score as well. Send us a text or give us a call, 312-981-7200. Blake, you mind hanging around just for a little bit longer?
You betcha.
All right, quick commercial break here on 720 WGN.
Nice.
Oh, here it comes.
Go on.
Little shop of horrors, little shop of terrors, won't drop. Little shop of horrors, whoa.
We're going to find you an off-Broadway play.
Little shop of horrors, pops you bop. Little shop of terrors, watch them drop. Little shop of horrors, no.
We're going to find you an off-Broadway, and you're going to be in it.
All right, you're listening to 720 WGN. This clearly is not Dave Plyer. This is John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon.
Hello.
And we're joined by Blake Stubbs. Blake, as I'm sure you've seen me sing these songs before as well, I want to mention one thing. You know, we've listed a bunch of these movies off. Some have great music, some have some other great qualities to them. And I don't know if it's just because it gets stale over time, but I don't know, comedies don't seem to stand... I mean, there's comedies you watch over and over again, but is it because jokes can get stale and change as the culture changes that maybe comedies don't stand the test of time as well as the dramas do, or have we just not happened to bring any up yet?
Well, we did bring up The Big Lebowski.
True.
Which has that cult following, and a lot of people can quote it, and it's sort of like a new generation's Caddyshack type thing. Caddyshack is one I would mention. Animal House is another I would
mention. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
These are all movies that I've seen multiple times that I can watch at any point in time, even if they're on television, because I know what the edits are. But I know that, you know, I enjoy watching it just as much because it's about the characters or the setting or the place. I mean, here's another one, Office Space.
Yeah,
or yeah,
Idiocracy,
that's a good one.
Both by Mike Judge. You know, Office Space is such an easily relatable film for a massive amount of people. And I know that, you know, it had a run, I believe, on TBS or TNT for a long time. And the syndication element, you know, makes it easy to have access to. But you can, you know, that's a cheap Blu-ray you can find at any local, like, Walmart for the most part. And you'll watch it 3 or 4 times, in the time you own it.
Yeah.
Another one, too. You guys were talking zombies earlier. I think Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
Any list of movies that you could watch over and over again. Edgar Wright makes some great, everything he touches, I think, is gold. But that's just me personally. His show Spaced, which he made with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost prior to Shaun of the Dead, I've probably watched that entire show. Now, granted, it was only 14 episodes. But if you have never seen Spaced, look it up. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to invite you into this cool club of people that love space. it has such rewatchability because of the style. You know, all of his stuff has fast edits. All of the stuff is very callback oriented to great, you know, horror action films. You know, things that, like, if you've seen what he's referencing, everything he does is a rewarding experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an easy way to go back and rewatch a movie like that. And even though that movie's about a zombie apocalypse, it's a comedy about a zombie apocalypse that I honestly don't think gets old. Now, it may not be the movie I can sit and watch four times in a row on repeat, but I've definitely seen that movie at least a dozen times. For sure, I know I've seen that one a dozen times. And I love showing that movie to people who haven't seen it, because I think that it's one of those things where, like, I didn't know anyone made a movie like this.
Yeah.
You know, everything's all Walking Dead right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I don't have a problem. I love Walking Dead. But if you are unaware of Shaun of the Dead,
check it out.
It's a nice starting point.
Did you have some comedies, Esmeralda?
Well, I like the 630 brings up a good one. My Cousin Vinny.
Ah,
I love that one. Two Utes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good one. My Biological Clock is Ticking. That is a really good one. That's a very good one.
That's one that's always on TBS.
847 says Groundhog Day. That one stands the test of time.
Groundhog Day. Absolutely.
That's a very familiar one. Mike, you've got a couple movies that are your kind of fallback go-tos and you know every word to, right? Mike, you there? You're on 720 WGN?
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's see. Dr. Strangelove. Without a doubt.
Oh.
Tour de force by Peter Sellers.
Yeah, he's come up before, yeah.
Absolutely.
Any other ones, Mike?
I wanted to say I grew up in a town where the mayor in 1958 or so was elected on the "Don't Let Them Fluoridate the Water" platform. So, Strangelove makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
The other one is Fargo, and let me just say that we've been talking about a lot of John Williams scores. Carter Burwell is a genius too, so I love any score by Carter Burwell.
I got to admit my naivety, Mike. I don't know who Carter Burwell is. I'm gonna have to look it up. I mean, I'm sure I've heard the scores that he's done. Just you
he
know,
did some... the score to The Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, Fargo.
He's a Coen Brothers.
He did the score for No Country for Old Men. There's a real listable score.
Some other ones there too.
Miller's Crossing, beautiful, beautiful Irish bass music. Great story.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. He doesn't appreciate me. So I appreciate him. I'm just kidding.
I appreciate you, John.
Thanks. Go ahead, Blake.
Oh, I was just gonna say I want to thank Mike for bringing up Carter Burwell, because Carter Burwell wrote the all the orchestrations for one of my absolute favorite films. It's actually my number five on my top five list, which is In Bruges. In Bruges, set to the cinematography of In Bruges and the way they tell that story, and it's a very black comedy,
mm-hmm.
okay? Very dark comedy. But the piano, the use of piano in that movie, it'll stick with you if you're really paying attention to it. And a lot of them, I mean, he's a frequent Coen Brothers collaborator, but he definitely has a very widespread sort of, like, you know, a plethora of things that he's worked with. And he's one of those evolving composers that kind of goes under the radar. Like you said, you're not too familiar, but I'm sure if I listed five of these movies, you would be like, wait a minute, I've seen all of those. And it's just, that's part of his greatness. He just blends in so well with different types of films. He actually did The Big Lebowski, if you can believe it or not. So, yeah.
So,
and Fargo's score is excellent.
So,
absolutely.
Blake, I got to ask, I'm not asking you to pick your favorite movie. I'm saying it's a rainy day. You're flipping through the channels. What movie, as you're flipping through, is the one that, again, we're not looking for your favorite movie of all time, but the one that you're like, I'm going to stop and watch this?
Oh, it's a tough question, but I did put some forethought into it because I knew I'd get asked. Honestly, Princess Bride.
Oh,
it's a good one.
Oh,
it is.
That's very sweet.
You know, because I don't know why that is. I mean, everybody has personal reasons why they pick certain movies. You know, movies are a very personal experience. I was a sick kid a lot when I was very young, and the movie opens with a sick kid, and his granddad comes over and tells him a story. It's very easy to fall into that one.
It's very sweet.
Because it completely transports, you know, characters within the film, and you're just invited along for the ride. And, of course, everybody in the movie's outstanding. And I was a big wrestling fan, and Andre the Giant being in a movie.
True.
Sort of gravitated very easily toward it. But, Yeah, Princess Bride, I think. You could just throw that movie on and I can watch it. I quote most of it, but I don't think I've ever dedicated myself to knowing everything. One other movie, and it's gonna maybe shock you, is Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, yeah.
The movie.
Oh, okay.
I can actually quote both all of This Island Earth and every one of the wisecracks from the film.
Oh, wow.
Because I've seen the movie so many times. I might need one more, like a refresh viewing.
Right.
But put me in front of a group of people and I can just sit there and be the most insufferable human being and not even let you watch it. I'll just sit there and quote the thing. So, but yeah, no, it's definitely one of those things where there's a lot of those movies that I've seen a lot. I can sort of tune out, but I can totally be there, you know, in it.
Mm-hmm.
Princess Bride, though, rainy day, go to. Absolutely.
Blake Stubbs, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
This time change thing is weird because you guys are in Central and I'm in the West Coast.
But right.
And we figured it out.
Did we make it a little better, though?
Honestly, you guys, this was quite... Once it rolled back and I realized I got my hour back,
yeah.
I can go back and sleep, I didn't really...
Yeah, you don't mind so much. All right, Blake, thanks so much for your time, okay?
Thank you. Well, oh, hey, and I think I would be remiss. I may be 2,000 miles away, but I am so thrilled the Cubs won the World
Series. Yeah.
I'm with you, Chicago, in spirit, and go Cubbies.
All right, Blake, go Cubsies. Have a good one. Yeah. I just called them the Cubsies, by the way, so you know that I am I'm just clearly off my rocker
you
at this point.
You are in it, though. That's why you can call
flipping
them
through,
Cubsies.
You got one that you're going to stop no matter what?
It would probably be, because we were talking about it, Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead.
That one's so good.
Roger, you got one that you're flipping through. You're not going to stop.
I got so many.
Right.
Probably because I've been around longer and I do watch a lot of movies. But the list is endless. But here are some that have been on recently, like a lot on those on the movie channels on the digital TV stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Quiet Man, John Wayne.
Okay.
The original Magnificent Seven.
Okay.
And The Longest Day, which has a cast of thousands, and every top male star from around the world was on it. It's about the invasion of D-Day, invasion of Normandy. And it's just tremendous. So those three, if I'm flipping around and it's there, I'm there.
Is it were all those three movies from when you were a kid? Or childhood or formative years, I should say?
Because
that's what I think this connection is. I think that's what...
They were formative. I could throw Lawrence of Arabia in there.
For me, it's like
throw every Jerry Lewis movie in there.
For me, it's like Jurassic Park. Like that one, I will watch no matter what. And that's when I was
right.
9 or 10
I'll
years old.
I'll tell you a new one.
Okay.
That I would watch at any time. And the background in it is that I was going through chemo at the time this came in the theater. And I could barely walk from my chemo treatments. I was with my wife. And this movie starts out with someone who dies of cancer.
Which one? I don't know. I can't think of
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Wait. Oh, that's right.
That's right.
That is a cute one.
And every time I have to force myself not to watch it because I become so emotional at the beginning of it. And then it's just a fun kick butt movie.
It kind of turns that around there.
Exactly.
Good. Yeah, I think it's these movies that either it's a connection to your past or a connection to a very emotional moment in your life that reminds you of it, that you'll just stop everything and say, I'm going to watch this all the way through.
Right.
Fascinating discussion.